Welcome to all of you as we gather together this day for worship, as we worship our Lord and Savior together across time and space and place. It is good to be together. I'm glad that Leslie's babbling wasn't too distracting from what I've heard back so far, and I appreciate everybody's grace and patience with that. I hope that you all have been able to enjoy the weather this week. I have certainly been enjoying the cooler weather and just getting to be outside a little more and having and starting that transition into fall. It's a fun time of year. Let us begin our worship. Blessed be God, the one who forms us, Jesus who bears the cross, and the Spirit who makes our joy complete. Amen. Let us bow before God in humility, confessing our sins. Steadfast and faithful God, you have revealed the ways of justice, yet we fail to follow you. We are overwhelmed by the world's violence and suffering. We are afraid to risk what we have for the sake of others. For the harm we have caused, known and unknown, forgive us. For the unjust demands we place on others and your creation, forgive us. For the ways we turn away from you and our neighbor, forgive us. Lead us back to you and set us on the right path. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Beloved in Christ, God's justice stretches beyond all understanding. God's compassion is beyond compare. In Jesus, God is always making a new way for us. In Christ, you are already and always forgiven. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, merciful Judge, you are the inexhaustible fountain of forgiveness. Replace our hearts of stone with hearts that love and adore you, that we may delight in doing your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our first reading today will be from Romans, the 14th chapter. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your sibling? Or you, why do you despise your brother or your sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us will be accountable to God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. and out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in his anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So we are right back where we finished up last week. So last week we got those step-by-step instructions from Jesus about what to do when someone sins against us and what to do when we have sinned against someone. And now we have Peter asking for some clarification. This question of, "Jesus, how many times do I actually need to forgive someone?" And Peter asks, "Is 7 times enough?" A little bit about numbers in the Bible. Sometimes they mean something, and sometimes it's just a number. 7, though, is an important number that signals wholeness or completeness. So to Peter's thinking, if he forgives someone 7 times, that means he has done really well. He has forgiven that person a complete and perfect number of times. Anything more than that would logically feel unnecessary. But Jesus comes back at him and says, not 7, but 77 times. This doubling or repeating of the number 7 would basically have meant infinity, or many, many more times than you care to count, Peter. That's how often we are to forgive one another. And this goes not just for Peter and the disciples gathered with Jesus that day, but this goes for us too. Now, I always want to be careful when talking about this radical forgiveness that Jesus both gives us and desires for us to extend to each other. It is always important to remember that forgiveness does not mean that a relationship returns to exactly how it was before. And in fact, this text has been regularly used as a weapon to keep people who are being abused in those abusive situations by misconstruing Jesus' words to say that if you don't forgive and return everything to normal, you will go to hell. This is not what Jesus is saying. This is not actually what forgiveness is. You can forgive someone and not have that relationship, whether it is romantic or platonic, be the same as it was before. And sometimes it also means that that relationship needs to shift to one that has little or no contact. Just because a relationship makes that kind of change does not mean that forgiveness hasn't been extended. So again, just like last week, we find that this text is about our relationships to and with each other, and that our foundation in all of our relationships is that Jesus lived and died and rose for you and each and every person, and this frees us and gives us this ability to forgive those many, many, infinite number of times. And I want you to think about what happens inside of you when you do forgive someone, and when you don't forgive someone, and when you're working on forgiving someone. And maybe not just somebody else, but include yourself in that, because sometimes we also have to forgive ourselves. And when we forgive someone, or when we forgive ourselves, even if that forgiveness comes with a major shift in the relationship, we pull that person or our own self in closer to us. And we see them as Jesus sees them, or we see ourselves as Jesus sees us. We see their humanity. We remember that we are in relationship together. We see them as a person made in God's image. We see them as someone for whom Jesus died. And when we don't forgive someone, or when we are working on forgiving someone, the opposite of all that is what happens. We don't, or we aren't ready to see the other person's humanity, or to acknowledge the relationship we have, or to see them as a person made in God's image, or to see that person as someone for whom Jesus died. In forgiveness, we are vulnerable with ourselves and vulnerable with each other. In forgiveness, we prioritize the relationships we have with ourselves and others because of Jesus, who prioritizes a relationship with us and who unites us all, whether we like it or not. The vulnerability and the restorative power of forgiveness, the closeness that forgiveness brings, is why we do the confession and forgiveness first in our worship together. In our confession and forgiveness, God draws you close to God's self and reminds you that there is nothing that you can do or leave undone that God, through the cross of Jesus, will not forgive. In Christ, you are already and always forgiven. In that forgiveness, you are free to worship with untold joy with your siblings who are also forgiven. The cross of Christ daily crucifies the sin of this world, and daily Christ rises to bring you forgiveness, healing, and life as many as 77 times. And this promise will never leave you. In Christ, we are already and always and forever forgiven. Amen. We will sing together the hymn, Rock of Ages Cleft for Me. Living together in trust and hope, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. gathered together into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. Go in peace. God is at work in you. Thanks be to God.